Michael, how are you?
Morning, Tony. How you doing?
Well, I saw a point of view that you wrote in the Detroit Free Press yesterday, and we are actually going to have Jessica Cooper on the program on Monday. I love these type of interactions, point-counterpoint, if you will. And you were, the topic is Improve the Medical Marijuana Act. And the headline for your piece states, states should set up a system of dispensaries to better serve and protect patients. This is a hot topic around the Lansing area and smaller communities around Lansing. Before we get into that, Michael, tell us a little bit about your background.
I'm a primarily criminal defense lawyer. I've been practicing in the Detroit and Oakland County, Wayne County, Macomb County area, but I've been primarily focused on medical marijuana the last 2.5 years. I'm on the board of directors with the Michigan Medical Marijuana Association, which is a patient advocacy group that has about 17,000 members. And the last 2 years has been very, very exciting times in terms of the enactment of the law, but also it's been a little bit, torturous for my clients who have unfortunately been getting arrested and having to go to court and defend themselves on the things that we believe are protected acts from the Michigan medical marijuana law itself.
Why such a personal and professional interest in medical marijuana, especially with being a board member on the Michigan Medical Marijuana Association?
Well, that's a good question. I see there's a number of reasons. Number one is, like many people, if you've ever seen someone deteriorate from a disease and not be able to eat, if you've seen people in pain that are addicted to pain medications and their quality of life is terrible, and you see these people seeking in other forms of alternative treatments and better quality of life, you understand that medical marijuana is a viable option. And having it legal for those people that qualify to use it is a very, very important principle that I think is obviously the majority in Michigan and in a number of other states across the country, but is now more than an accepted principle in the established medical community. Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to say, so it's not something that is a fringe thought anymore. It's something that has been recognized as a viable way to treat a number of different conditions. One of the really interesting things that I've observed over the last 2 years is that, being that it's Michigan, being that it's a automotive driven community, a lot of labor force is what makes up our population. These are people that have worked on the lines for a lot of years. They've built this state by hard labor. And that kind of work causes pain. I never realized how many people were being treated by pain management clinics because of injuries or debilitating conditions that have happened from the workforce, just laboring. And the normal form of treatment is prescription medications. And you'll find that, I think it's 75 to 80% of the people with the registry program are chronic pain patients. So you're finding that in lieu of prescription medications, people are preferring to use cannabis as a way to treat their condition. And it's I believe, a much better way to handle those situations.
We are talking with Michael Corman, who is an attorney from the Detroit area and also a board member of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Association. Well, Michael, the principal reason I wanted to have you on the program, there are many communities in the mid-Michigan area watching Lansing and East Lansing who are trying to formulate ordinances to manage medical marijuana facilities, the people who grow it, who sell it, the caregiver, the patients who go to the caregiver. And it's almost a situation where they keep tabling the ordinance, trying to get more feedback from the community, because it seems like there's a lack of direction, there's a lack of information when it comes to the state law.
Well, I don't want to be critical of the law itself. If I was going to be critical of anything, it would be the way that it's being interpreted. you know, there is a certain genius to this act, despite the criticism. And I would say that it is very clearly a law that is written to protect patients, caregivers, and the people that assist patients and caregivers in getting them their medication. And the law is not specific on a lot of things, but that's it's genius that it does not outline specific details of these medical situations because it would be impossible. Therefore, the intent of the law is to have a broad protection at different levels for different acts. And, you know, my preference would be that those that are criticizing it take a better look at it and try to understand that it's not a law enforcement issue. It's not something that resources should be spent on trying to find ways that people violate the act. Instead, they should be looking for ways to not arrest patients and caregivers and understand the medical marijuana community better. Now, with that being said, and that being my desire, I've come to the realization that that's going to take a lot of evolved thinking, and I don't know that it's going to happen anytime soon. And there's many, many people that are being arrested and prosecuted unfairly because of that. And waiting, I don't know, is going to be the answer. But the concept of a dispensary, I think, is something that, easily comes to, that you can easily come to a conclusion about. One, we would all agree.
And Michael, before you talk about the dispensary, define define dispensary.
To me, a dispensary is a commercial entity that is designed as a business or nonprofit, but is in a, is recognized operating in a commercial setting that allows for registered patients or caregivers to come to this location and acquire cannabis for their patient or for the patient themselves to treat their medical condition. And entry onto the place is entry onto the location and to be able to participate in that procurement of cannabis would require registration or the equivalent thereof with the state, that being a card or the equivalent of a card, which is the application and verification that it, after 20 days that it's been received by the state. But that to me is a dispensary. Now, it does not necessarily have to be, you know, on the street corner with a marijuana leaf clearly visible to mother and child as they walk by. In fact, I think, you know, one of the things to consider as we move forward is that maybe we make them a little bit more private. We don't have them, you know, so visible like a medical facility would be, something closer to that. You know, you don't go to your doctor's office and, you know, the windows aren't, you know, open to the street so you can see things that are going on there. And I don't think that dispensaries need to be that. I think they should be more privately, you know, give a more private feel to them.
All right, Michael, there's two challenges that citizens seem to have from this part of the state. Number one, and I'll let you address them one at a time. Number one, why do you need a facility to do your medicine? Most other medicines are done in the privacy of your own home. In some cases, you may do it in your vehicle if you just picked up your medicine from the drugstore. Why do you have to have a facility and a social environment to do your medicine?
Well, in my definition, I didn't necessarily address either what you're talking about, which is use on site or cultivation on site. I see a dispensary as an outlet, a retail type of outlet. The issue of medicating on site is always going to be a hot topic. I think in the long run, it's going to be a difficult battle. If there's ever going to be any legislation dealing with dispensaries, it's going to be a hard one for there to be a consensus upon, just because of the what I believe are wrongly implied effects on driving and leaving a facility and whatnot. But I know that there's always going to be opposition to that, and it doesn't necessarily have to be on site. The advantage to being on site and being able to use on site is that those that may not understand different strains or different forms of ingestion may benefit from interactions with people that know about it on these sites as a learning experience in a controlled environment. It allows for, you know, introduction to different ways to treat your condition, you know, other than, you know, smoking or, you know, or other traditional methods of ingestion.
All right. I still find a challenge with why do people have to be in a social environment? Why not one-on-one with a facilitator? Because we're not taking our Vicodin or our penicillin out in public in a social environment, you know, in a social atmosphere.
Well, you're talking about where people go to a dispensary and they smoke or ingest or vaporize cannabis on site. That's what you're talking about. That's an issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I understand that argument, and you know, I respond just that it's educational and it gives an introduction. But and I know that there's always going to be issues of driving afterwards and whether a person's impaired. So I understand that may be a throwaway. I know that that's an issue that is hotly debated, but. You know, I see the places being not necessarily for that purpose, but instead for, you know, all the other things that patients are going to need. They don't necessarily have to medicate on site, but they're a need for, at various times, depending on the situation, an alternative place to obtain cannabis is really what this place serves as. That's what I see it as.
And
what I'm talking about is we do have an existing patient caregiver system, and in no way, shape, or form am I criticizing it. It works. And if there is going to be any legislation, I would suggest that it does not interfere with, take away from, or deprive any of the rights that exist currently for patients and caregivers. If there's going to be legislation, it should be something that layers on top of the existing law, a third tier of protection, one might say, something that discusses only this commercial distribution retail outlet. There's a statute in Denver that is, you know, I commented that I think the preamble is very good. It's something to the effect of, like, you know, the Colorado voters enacted the Colorado, the equivalent of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. This Denver ordinance is to define specifically retail outlets, which are not defined in the Colorado Act, and they're to regulate and, you know, make specific, you know, situations clear to law enforcement as to how these facilities will operate. It doesn't take away from the existing. I don't think that there should be. The current caregiver system works 99% of the time. The dispensaries serve as an alternative means for people to acquire their medicine, which sometimes happens, the need for it. For example, in Waterford, and there's, of course, the Oakland County Waterford and Ferndale dispensary cases. I'm involved with the Waterford case. On some days, 50 to 100 people were coming into these dispensaries. And I know that Lansing has, I don't know, 25, 30 themselves. And I know that they are regularly being frequented by sick people that are acquiring medications. And the reason they're going is because they may have a caregiver. Their caregiver's crop may have failed. It may have not harvested yet. Caregiver's strains that they're currently growing may not be specifically the best for the treatment of the patient's condition. And when I talk about the concept of dispensaries, I don't think it's hard to get there. You know, I don't think anyone who's got compassion would disagree with the following. One, no sick person should have to get their medication in a Burger King parking lot. You know, sometimes because these are sick people, sometimes a caregiver, you know, may not want a patient coming to their house, or going to someone's house may not be the way to go about it. Maybe they need to be in a private, more medical type of condition, one of these types of places to interact. Secondly, no person should be at the mercy of their pharmacist to acquire their medication. Sometimes the caregiver is not available. Sometimes the caregiver's crop is not mature to harvest. Sometimes there's a need for medicine now that isn't available. And third, I don't think anyone with compassion would disagree with the comment that we don't want sick people to be deprived from getting the best medication possible to treat their condition, which is that people should be able to have the choice of variety of strains, because, you know, whether you're aware of it or not, there's a number of different strains that grow and when cultivated will treat different conditions. I mean, it's to the point now, the sophistication of growing, where you can pick strains that treat specifically nausea. You know, will put you to sleep, will wake you up, will treat your pain, will help you eat. I mean, it's become very sophisticated, and places like a dispensary give patients options. They also provide for options for ingestion. Not every person that's growing 12 plants in their home for their sick wife is going to have the resources to be able to produce medibles or tinctures, which are other methods of which cannabis can be ingested.
All right, Michael, I've got one more question. I got to go. I know you've got some place to be, and I'm kind of pressed for time. Last question for you. The concern here in the Mid-Michigan area also is where these establishments are being placed, by schools, by churches. Where I live, there's one right across the street from a soccer complex. And to tie all that in where they're located is the situation where we're down in the Detroit area, and I'm familiar as I'm from Mount Clemens. There are challenges with these places being robbed of monies and products. How do you battle where to put these facilities?
Well, I think that the answer is that if there's going to be some kind of regulation of some kind, it's got to require a security system, without a doubt. You know, and there's got to be a standard or threshold of a bare minimum of what's required before these things can operate. And that's an easy, lever that any municipality or even at the state level can come up with. You know, requiring a certain level of security, whether it's cameras that, give information off-site that's recorded, whatever it might be, that's not a problem. Also, I think it would be helpful if you take it off of the, out in the public and you make it more private and contemplate that in terms of security and also public view. But that's always going to be an issue. And, at some point, I think, the police to assist are going to have to be more aware of, the need to patrol those areas to protect their dispensaries instead of arrest the owners of the dispensaries. And, if there's a recognition of the need for that and that these places are providing a tremendous service to the community or for those that need it, in a different way of thinking, we're going to be in a much better place. And I think, at the end of the day, and I know you're going to have Jessica Cooper on, it doesn't help if your position is we're having a crusade. And these are the words that have been used, a crusade against medical marijuana. It's difficult to communicate. It's difficult to have people understand the needs of sick people when they're on a crusade, and also that they don't really have an understanding of what is going on in the medical marijuana community and how things actually operate between patients and caregivers, plants being cultivated, the challenges of that, and the need to have a variety of strains. So, once those concepts are accepted, it's going to be a lot easier to communicate. This medical marijuana community has been reaching out to law enforcement for 2 years to sit down and try to rationally discuss a way where we all can get along. The patients in the community want safety. They want to be able to go to work. They want to be able to use their medicine and not worry about getting arrested.
All right, Michael, I'm kind of pressed for time. We're going to have the opposing view to this. Awesome information. Thank you so much. I'll keep your phone number, and when we need to talk again, we'll give you a call.
I enjoyed it. Have a great day.